Today's gospel reading comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, verses 37 to 42. As you're turning to Matthew, it's the first book of the New Testament. Just to let you know, we're taking a pause this week from our series of looking at the fruit of the Spirit. In the past couple of weeks, we've looked at love and joy, Old Testament stories to illustrate those. We'll pick up those after Tara and I return later in August, late July. But for today, because of the timing of today and where we are between a couple of very important events, we're focusing on this passage and reflecting on it together. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through the end of the chapter. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks this day for who you are and for what you have done in our world. We thank you that you are more than wonderful, more than anything we could ever hope or imagine to receive. Fill us with your Spirit this day as we reflect on these words and in our situation in life, standing where we are at this point in the calendar year. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you and to listen carefully for what you are saying to your church this day. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. This is kind of a challenging passage of Scripture. Matthew 10, "If anyone loves his father or mother, son or daughter, more than he loves me," Jesus, "then he's not worthy of following me," Jesus says. Kind of hard to take him at his word there. Following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. It is not a part-time vocation. It is something that takes all of us, all of our energies, all of our hopes, and all of our dreams, and all of our fears. We are built for relationships. God created us so that we could be in relationship with each other. And one of the beautiful things about church life is that we have these relationships with each other. We get together every Sunday to practice the art of being in relationship with each other, and this is important stuff. It's part of why it's important for us to have a fellowship meal, a potluck dinner, as we call them, after church every so often, so we can practice being in relationship with each other. But the primary relationship that we are to have, the most important relationship to supersede all of the others, is our relationship with God himself. That is to be more important than even our family relationships, is what Jesus said. Even more important than our own self-survival. Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, he's got to take up, or she has to take up, his or her cross and follow me. That's not very pleasant language. A cross is an instrument of undoing. It's an instrument of execution. It's an instrument of how you are put to death. Jesus carried his own cross to the place of his crucifixion. And he says now to those who would follow him, you've got to do the same thing. Jesus is about some pretty radical stuff. He doesn't want us to stay living the way that we have always been living according to the way of the world. Jesus is all about forgiving us of our sins, and we hear that over and over and over again. Again, that's church language that kind of rolls off the tongue. Jesus came to forgive your sins. Yeah, absolutely he did. But there's more to it than just that. Jesus came into the world to bring the kingdom of God into the world. So that from this point on, meaning the point when Jesus came into the world, from that point on, God's reign in this world looks different than it has in the past. It is breaking into the world in very tangible sorts of ways. Ways that God calls his people to participate in. The reign of God in the world, the kingdom of God in the world, looks like not the other kingdoms of this world. It's not defined by political boundaries or by laws or by constitutions or by maps and people groups and things like that, how we define nations today. The kingdom of God is defined by a different way of living, an alternative lifestyle to the way of the world, a way that is marked by the holiness of the Spirit of God, a way that is marked by devotion to God's ways, a way that is marked by an abundance of life. The world does not give abundant life. Christ gives abundant life. The kingdom of God is marked by freedom, not political freedom, but freedom from all the powers that would oppress us, political and otherwise. The kingdom of God requires the participation of the citizens of the kingdom of God. And that's us. We choose to work on behalf of God's kingdom in this world in order to glorify the name of Jesus. How can we wrap our minds around this? How can we put wheels on the ground? How can we embody the presence of Jesus in the world? How can we communicate the love of Jesus to a world around us and to those in it who need to receive this love of Jesus? Pastor Jerry and Connie and I were at the Church of God convention this past week. This was held in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the first time in over a century that it was not in Anderson. And I'll tell you, it was well attended. There were 2,000-3,000 people there, which is, I think, higher than recent years in Anderson anyway. It was very strongly attended, and it was incredibly busy. It was 3 days long, from Monday afternoon to Thursday afternoon, about 72 hours, and there were 12 sessions. Back to back. I mean, literally, one would end, and 20 minutes later, the next one would start. It was intense. There were speakers and worship music and challenges made and video presentations, and then we got to sleep a little bit. And then we did the whole thing over again the next day. It was mind-numbing in a sense, but it was really good. There was also the General Assembly of the Church of God, pastors and representatives from our congregations that gathered to do the business of the church. We passed 6 resolutions. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, ask us. It's actually very interesting. Some of the things that we did were business-oriented. Some of them were actually very cool kinds of things. So you can ask about that if you like. Today, though, I'd like to emphasize and bring before you 2 of the main challenges that were presented to us to be shared with all of the congregations of the Church of God in this country and hopefully broader than just this country, too. These are challenges that were set forward for us by our General Director, Jim Lyon, in a number of different ways and a number of different settings in the past week. The first is an initiative called Change the World. This is really neat stuff. There is an anonymous family from California. We don't know, they didn't announce who this was. They're not associated with the Church of God, but they've donated a substantial amount of money to Church of God Ministries, our coordinating organization. And the money is designed specifically for starting new ministry ideas. And so the call's been put out to us and to all of the other churches in our movement. If we have an idea of something that we can do to reach out to our community, a way that we can impact this area, Midland County, Mount Haley Township, the Bullet Creek School District, something very tangible that we've been thinking of maybe or dreaming of doing, but if we just had the money to do it, we could make it happen. This is the way. The money is there. If we just had the resources to fulfill the dream that God has given us. It's not about fixing the building. It's not about other kinds of maintenance sorts of things. It's about ministering to our community in very tangible, very practical ways So my challenge for you is to dream big. I've been using this language with our church council in the past few months. Dream big. If there was something that this church could do to make an impact in this community, it could be $500 big. It could be $20,000 big. Those are kind of the parameters that we're talking about here. Not a million, yeah, not that big. But dream sort of big. That's a joke. Think about how we as a community of faith might make a difference in our community at large for the name of Christ, to raise awareness of Christ, to raise the standard of living in a family, whatever it might be. A story was told about a church in southern Arizona. It's a large church. It was a $20,000 dream. They see a lot of food come across the border from Mexico. The food gets stored in warehouses. This is the way it works. And then stores come in and purchase what they need for their stores from the warehouse. But not everything gets purchased. You know, food is left in the warehouses to basically rot. And this church became aware of this situation and said, this is not good. There are people that are hungry in our communities. There are at-risk families that don't have food supplies. And there's food rotting in warehouses. This isn't right. Let's see if we can fix it. Dream big. They did. And what has already started through the Scottsdale Church is this initiative where they reclaim the food that's left in the warehouses and distribute it for free to families that are at risk. It's a huge thing. What could we do with $100, $500, $5,000? What could we do? We have to submit an application for this grant by September 15th, so it's kind of coming quickly. So dream big and fast. This is only a couple of months away, but this is good. Wheels on the ground, real ministry. That's one of the two challenges that came out of this, this Church of God convention. The second I'd like to speak a little bit more clearly about, and this is an initiative that I don't particularly favor the name of, but the name is meaningless. The name is called Church of God Traffic Light, which I think is kind of dumb. But it's okay. It's a name. Whatever. The emphasis is not on the name. The issue is the important thing, and the issue is the issue of human trafficking. When I say the phrase human trafficking, do you know what I mean by this? Is this a phrase that's familiar to you? It has to do with people trapped in systems that keep them oppressed. We can use that kind of language. And it has very much to do with sexual slavery and issues along those lines. We have some children in the congregation today, so try to paint around the edges, if you know what I mean, of the situation. This is a global phenomenon, human trafficking is. It is around the world, and it's local, and it's growing incredibly quickly. About 10 years ago, you could say it was about a $4 billion industry. Today, it's on the order of about $30 billion. It's an immense amount of money that is being spent on purchasing people for sexual purposes. That's at the core what this is. It's a huge problem, and it's very close to home. Paul, I've got a couple of slides. If you'd show the next slide up here. This is a map of the U.S. You will recognize that. It's kind of fun sometimes to, you know, put it upside down or backwards or something. What is that? No, you know, this is the United States. This image comes from an organization that supplies a crisis hotline, a telephone hotline for people to call if they are in this kind of situation, if they are being trafficked. This is an 800 number that they can call and get help, find a way out. This map shows the incidence of those phone calls, where they're originating from in the United States from 2007 until last year when they called it. The darker color of the state, the higher the incidence of the calls, the phone calls, people looking for help for human trafficking. Yep. You see what I mean? Michigan is in the darkest color. It's not very far away from us. It centers generally in urban areas. There's New York, there's Texas, there's Los Angeles, there's Florida, and Atlanta is another hotbed for it too. It centers sort of in urban areas, and Detroit's a major situation for us as well in terms of why Michigan is so heavy. But Paul, on the next slide, thank you. This is a satellite map. You'll recognize the mitten of Michigan, right? And the orangish splotches are a zoomed-in version of the prior map. This shows the incidence of those phone calls, where they're originating from in local cities. So yeah, Detroit in the southeastern part of the state. There's Grand Rapids up on the left. Ann Arbor and Lansing are there too. But look, there's Bay City and Saginaw and Mount Pleasant. This is just the last year, just 2013. Phone calls made of people trying to escape from the business of human trafficking. It's global, but it's also incredibly local too. The Church of God has been involved in the fight against human trafficking for 100 years. There is a ministry called The Shelter, which is based in a town in India called Cuttack. The town is called Cuttack, India. And this ministry called The Shelter has been functioning in Cuttack, India for 100 years. It will celebrate its centenary anniversary September 1st this year. It began as a movement of a few missionaries. You'll hear more about the story of how this began in coming weeks. The ministry serves girls and young women who have been trapped in temple prostitution, in Hindu temples in particular, in that region. They've been used for sexual purposes from an early age, and this shelter stands as a place where they can come and be removed from that terrible situation. For 100 years, we have been doing this. And the meet need continues. It hasn't ended. It's a continual thing in every generation. There is anti-human trafficking work going on there and in Atlanta, Georgia, and in Dayton, Ohio, and in Berlin, Germany, all within the Church of God family. Now, we by no means are the only church group thinking about this. There are lots of people thinking about human trafficking. But our goal as a movement in the coming year is to kind of focus our eyes on this issue and to say, what can we do about it? How can we join forces with those in the world who are already trying to fight this? How can we serve the Lord by trying to put an end to this terrible thing? The call that Reverend Jim Lyon put out for us as a movement is something that he's calling 1,000 by 1,000, and this is really very exciting. His dream big, is for 1,000 churches in the Church of God. There are about 2,000 or so, so about half. I'd like for us to be one of them. For 1,000 churches in the Church of God to raise $1,000. What does that multiply up to, math wizards in the room? $1 million. That's right. That's 6 zeros. That was, never mind. If you know it, that's good. Yeah, the goal is for us to raise $1 million as a movement dedicated to the purposes of fighting human trafficking in The Shelter and in Atlanta and Dayton and Berlin and lots of other places around the world. I would like for us to be part of that movement, to see our church raise $1,000 through collecting pop cans. We'll take that from you, Pastor Jerry, or through our extra donations, above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings, to fight the cause of human trafficking. Some of this money will help to refurbish the shelter. It's 100 years old. It needs some work done. Some of it will go toward aiding the ministries taking place in these other urban settings, or even beginning new ministries in other urban settings. It's a tremendous challenge, and I think it's a wonderful thing that we could be a part of. The money has already started to be collected for this, even at the convention and in the next year, from now until next year, our goal will be to raise $1,000 for it in partnership with many other churches. We will also have opportunities to be educated about the issue of human trafficking, to participate in the fight against it in our own communities, to work toward a solution. What might a solution look like? Well, we heard some interesting ideas at the convention this past week. There are a few ministry groups in Anderson and in Atlanta and other places where women, church women, and men, for very obvious reasons, it has to be women, where believing women will make a practice of visiting strip clubs every week or every other week or even once a month just to meet the people who work there and to extend the love of Christ to them with no strings attached. To walk into the room and say, we want to get to know you for who you are, and to say that you are valuable in the Lord's eyes, and to begin the conversation of getting to know these women. Now, to be fair, not all strip clubs are associated with human trafficking. There are women who choose to be part of that kind of profession, but not all of them are. Some of them are very much controlled to and forced to serve in that kind of setting, even as close as Saginaw to us. I think it's a powerful ministry idea to visit a place where normal church people would not want to go. And as we were sitting there in Oklahoma City, I started leafing through my church directory, thinking, who in our congregation might be up for that challenge? Again, this is just obviously for women. Men, you're not allowed for this job for obvious reasons. But who among us could do this? Who among us might have a heart for this kind of ministry? I could come up with a list, I think. If schedules could coordinate, I think it might be a really fascinating thing for us to try. Think about it. Dream big. Pray hard about this. It's an idea we can explore. There's no time frame for this because it's an ongoing issue. But if that strikes your heart in a particular way, let's talk about it. And let's get wheels on the ground to see if we could learn more about how this might work in our own community. How we practice human sexuality says a tremendous amount about our relationship with God and the role of Jesus Christ in our lives. So in the coming year, we will be looking for ways to become involved in this fight in our local community and across the state and even across the nation. As the Church of God, our hope through this process is that we will find our identity in it. We will find our identity as a movement, as being people who are committed to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as a movement, our goal is to explore new ministries. Remember the first challenge, dream big, change the world. How could we use monetary resources to minister to our community? And to work toward holiness of life for ourselves and for those who are affected by human trafficking. And we do all of this because we love Jesus more than we love our families. We love Jesus more than we love even ourselves, our own lives. Jesus calls us to take up our crosses of self-denial and serve the Lord with everything we are. How might we be identified by our practices in the coming year? I think it's an amazing thing to dream about, and I hope you'll join with me in the challenge of trying to find ways to put these wheels on the ground, to meet real needs and to share the love of Christ with those around us in our community. In the Church of God, we have always been identified by our practices. What we do says more about who we are than creeds that we write or statements of faith that we write down. And this has been the case for the church in all of its history, that Christians around the world have been identified by their practices. We will move now to one very important practice, which is the sharing at the Lord's table. This is a practice, a tangible way for us to participate in the worship of God that really does not make sense to the outside unbelieving world. What we're doing functionally is eating a little bit of bread and drinking a little bit of grape juice. What could possibly be the meaning in that? But for those who are part of the family of faith, for those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we understand that this meal has meaning beyond the elements themselves. They are reminders of the body and the blood of Jesus who died for us, taking his cross, scorning its shame for the glory that lay beyond it. In the Church of God, generally, and here at Mount Haley Church of God, we practice what we call open communion, which means you don't have to be a member of this church, whatever that means. That was a snide remark, sorry. Megan, you got that. You don't have to be a member of this church in order to be a participant in this meal. You do need to be a member of God's church. This is a meal for those who are in Christ, whether or not this is your church home. So when we practice open communion, what I mean to say is, all are welcome at the Lord's table for those who are in the family of faith. If you're visiting with us today and you are not a believer, if you're not a Christian, if you don't identify that way, then it's okay. It really is okay, and it's actually preferable for you to not participate. There's no shame in it. It's just okay. Because this means something to those of us who have been transformed by the body of Christ. We practice open communion, and today we will practice it just remaining seated where we are. Ushers, I'll call on you in a moment to come and serve. We're flying by the seat of our pants today. They didn't know that until I just said that just now. Giving them time to process. Oh, I'm going to have to stand up. Excellent. Would you join me in prayer as we approach the Lord's table together? O Lord our God, we give you praise for your word, which challenges us to move beyond ourselves and to serve you by meeting the needs of those around us in very tangible ways. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us in the days that lie ahead, that the energy and the motivation and the spirit of the Church of God Convention in Oklahoma would continue to move throughout your churches in the coming weeks and months. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, to dream big about how we might spread your love in this community, and to consider how we might join the fight against human trafficking, even in our own world. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you this day. And as we approach your table and share in this meal, we pray that you would center our thoughts and our hearts on the most amazing sacrifice that was ever made. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen.